Good evening. It is so great to be with y'all tonight. It's so great to be here in Scottsboro getting to worship our God together. I've always thought of Mr. Terry as one of my top role models from the time that I could start lads to whenever we're shooting off fireworks at Southern Hills. I've always thought of him as my number one role model, and I'm very thankful for that. We sometimes sing the hymn called, "I Know the Lord Will Find a Way for Me." It's one of my all-time favorite hymns. I love to sing it, especially because of the section that says, "If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me." Our lives are a story. Now, we choose how to write that story. But with our lives, we have one author, and it's not us. God is our author. God knows what we're going to do today. He knows what we're going to do in 10 minutes. He knows what we're going to do in 10 years from now. But it's a matter of how are we going to follow that story? Because God has our story written before we're even born. But it's a matter of, are we going to follow that story and figure out what that story is? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." A child's a precious gift from God. A child's one of the greatest things that God could have ever given us as parents. If you are a parent or soon to be a parent. As a child, we're taught at a young age to get up, brush our teeth, eat breakfast, go to church on Sunday mornings. Why? Because our parents want us to learn at a young age that that's what we're supposed to do, that we're supposed to get up on Sunday morning. We're supposed to go worship God. Unfortunately, it's not the case with a lot of people. A lot of children tend to fight back at times, which is why God gives us the free will to do what He says and what He says not do. But as a child, or even now, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, what happens? You get in trouble. At a young age, Our parents always taught us, don't touch the stove because it's hot. Well, if we did it anyways, we were going to get burned. Our parents wanted us to learn that even though we got in trouble for things, they loved us enough to help us get to do the right thing. And that's what God does. We're all sinners. We all mess up. We all do stuff that we're not supposed to do. But it's because God wants us to learn from that. God wants us to learn that we did mess up. Then He wants to show us how to fix it. And He wants us to start that at a young age, which is why He says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart it." I was and still am so fortunate to be with parents who loved me so much that they always taught me to put God first in everything that we say and do. One of the hardest times in my life was high school. It's a hard time for a lot of kids because you're in that age that you're starting to become 16, getting ready to drive the first car, you're starting to get a little independence. It's not a bad thing. But what's also bad is that's where the devil tries to grab you even further, especially at a young age. I dealt with it a lot of times in college, and it was always super, super hard to try to figure out how to get out of it. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41 says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, every day we deal with temptations and sin, but I feel like high school is one of the hardest times to deal with this because, like I said, you're in that age where you feel like you're independent, but in reality, you're not. And in a sense, every day, we all feel like we're in that independent stage, and we're not. No one can be independent as a child of God, because without God, we don't have that hope of heaven. So we can never be independent, because we always have to have God in our lives. We always have to have Him telling us and teaching us what to do. Temptations are always a hard thing in everybody's life, but especially in high school, you start dealing with a lot of the stuff that you're not supposed to say, stuff you're not supposed to do. And it's a matter of how do you grasp getting rid of all that stuff? James chapter 1, verse 12 through 13 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone." This verse especially came to mind to me when I was getting ready for college, because I had done a lot of research. I started college back in 2015. And back in 2017, I was reading an article, and I still have it to this day. It's from Michael F. Haverluck of OneNewsNow.com. He took a study, and he writes, "Studies have shown that somewhere between 60% and 80% of previously engaged Christian youth become disengaged with their faith as they transition into college. Although we can be critical as to the reason behind this statistic, in reality, most of this fall off is quite unintentional or just a drift or slow fadeaway. This happens as we get distracted by life's activities and struggle to figure things out." I agree with the article, but it's not entirely correct. Because if we teach our children at a young age to follow God, to follow His Word, to do and say what He does, then this won't matter. They won't become disengaged as they travel back into college. I remember when I first started college, the first thing I did, especially going to Faulkner, was I got in contact with Mr. Terry, and I said, "Mr. Terry, where are the churches of Christ that are sound?" That was the biggest thing I wanted to do before I did anything school related. I wanted to figure out what church was going to keep me on the path of righteousness during college, because I knew it was going to be a hard time, because you start entering that independent phase where you think, "Oh, well, I don't have to get up on a Sunday morning. I'm not forced to get up. Wednesday night, I'm too tired. I'm too tired from school. I don't want to go." I knew if I started doing that, my faith was going to be challenged like I had never seen it before. And even though I was at a Christian college, it didn't matter. Now, especially if you're going to any college, Alabama, Freed, Faulkner, Harding, Auburn, anywhere, the first thing you need to do is find those group of individuals, the Tide for Christ, Raiders for Christ at MTSU, anywhere like that, you have a group of people that you can rely on in a good Christian way. Because even though we have school that will keep us in our earthly future successful, none of that matters. What matters is, does that future get us to heaven? Because we can be, like I dealt with in college with a lot of athletes, and we had a lot of people come in, and we had a lot of kids who were there, obviously, they were there just to play sports. They didn't care that it was Faulkner. They just cared that they were getting a scholarship for football and that they were getting to play the sport that they love. I tend to feel like that's the challenge that a lot of people deal with today, even if you're not in sports. Because when we do that, we're putting our faith in jeopardy. We're putting our lives in jeopardy. Because if we don't follow what God says, that's worse than getting a failing grade. That's worse than getting not finishing school. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Another verse that really hit home with me was Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And that, I feel like, is what I try to focus my life around. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Jesus knew that once he ascended, it couldn't stop there. He knew he couldn't say, "Okay, just tell everybody that I was here." He specifically tells them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Because in our lives, God puts us in situations not to test our faith, not to test our faith to see if we're going to remain faithful to Him, but He puts us in situations, I feel like He puts us in situations to see how are we going to act on our faith and get other people to act on their faith. Because based on this verse, it's our job as Christians, because we know what God's Word is, it's our job to go spread it to those people who are maybe just there to play sports or just there to get an education. Because, like I keep saying, nothing compares to your eternal salvation. Your eternal salvation is the most important thing you will ever hold grasp to. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Most people know this. It says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Like I said, we have to take this verse and put it into practice, especially at a young age. Because even teenagers, even middle schoolers, you always have a younger person looking up to you. You always have an older person looking up to you. If we take our Christian lives and we take them into the world, that's one more person that we are potentially saving from an eternal torment in the worst place that we could even imagine. It's always crazy to think to me that people can question, is there a God? I don't see how. Just driving through the mountains here made me feel like there was a God. Every day that I live, I know that there's a God there taking care of me, no matter what situations lie ahead of us. Like I said, in life, we think we can be independent, but in reality, we can't. There's no way that we can be independent. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." In life, even though we're all out, even though most of us are out of school, and we're all in the workforce, and we're all into adulthood, we are still taking tests. Now, it's not like a school test, but it's a spiritual test. And we can still make failing grades in that. But the best thing about that is that even though we make failing grades in that, we can always retake that test. Because if we hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and live a faithful life, we will always be able to retake that test of our eternal salvation. Because God didn't want to say, "Well, you messed up. That's it. I give up trying to deal with you. I don't want to deal with you." He's never going to say that. He is always going to say, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He will never, ever get rid of you. Because I gave this sermon on Sunday, in Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 45. Actually, go back to verse 32. It says, "Now this, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' Sitting down, they kept watching over him, and they put up over him the accusation written against him, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" That day is what I like to call the greatest, worst day in history. We have many great days in history, in our history. We've won our freedom. We've put man on the moon. We've won so much. But we've also had turmoil in our lives. We've had sin. We've had death. We've had loss of loved ones. We've had sick. We've had ill. But nothing compares to that cruel day of Calvary, where our Lord and Savior was beaten, mocked, scourged, scorned, any torture possible. He endured for us on that cross. And the worst part about it was that was the first time that God could not be with His Son. Because on that day, our lives were saved. Because as that blood was being shed, our sins, the sins of the past, the sins of the present, the sins of the future, were sitting on that cross. Why would you not want to go share what our Lord and Savior did for us? Not many people are willing to die for an entire world. But our Lord and Savior wanted, even though He said in the garden that He didn't want to do it, He knew it had to be done. He knew He was supposed to do it to keep us on the straight and narrow. Like I said, in life, we deal with all these troubles and trials. We just got through dealing with Father's Day. Parents, it is crucial. It is crucial that you take care of your children, that you pray for your children every day. There's so many people in our lives today who don't get that freedom, don't get that love. And it's hard to see, especially if that's what I like about working with kids, because you get to learn from them. You get to learn from a child. A child's mind races so much that you're there just soaking it all in and trying to figure out how you can help that child. Especially, that's what I like about being a youth minister, because maybe they've done something that they don't, that they feel like they can't go to their parents about. But they have their church family to help them. And that's your job, and that's my job. We have to work together in all aspects of life. But like I said, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop just by coming on Sunday and Wednesday. We can't just say we're coming to the church building and that's it, and then live an earthly life. We have to take what we were taught and go into all the world. And because if we don't, it's going to be fatal. It's going to be extremely fatal. Faith is something that is always very crucial for us to have, because without faith, we have nothing. Without faith, we don't have love. Without faith, we don't have everything that we could have everything that could have been promised to us. Go with me to Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. It says, "Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" Like I said, as a young child, we have to listen to our kids. Because a lot of the times we may be thinking that we're doing it the right way. But you know, our children may come to us and say, hey, that's really not it. Our children may have to remind us at times that we have to go a certain way, that we have to do a certain thing differently. And that's what I like about being a coach and being a minister, because it really gave me an eye-opener as to, you know, I really don't know everything all the time. I don't know what life is like. I don't know what certain children's lives are like. I was just doing it based off my life. You don't realize how many different aspects of life you're going to get until you're surrounded by kids. Which is why I love it so much. I love being to them. Continuing on with it, when Jesus counsels the rich young ruler, he says, now as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do you not commit adultery? Do you not murder? Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Children, it's the same way. We have to listen to our parents, because our parents are going to put us in situations that are going to help us once we get older, because they want us to learn from all of our mistakes. They want us to get into a certain, they want us to get into a certain situation that they know we're going to have help to get out of. The biggest thing is, don't ever think that you can do it on your own. Always ask for help. Always, always, always ask for help. Because when we don't, we can get out of certain situations. But a lot of the times we can't get out of that situation. And it's extremely hard to get out of that situation. Going on into Mark chapter 10, verse 23, says, then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not without God. For without God, all things are possible. The Bible is such a powerful book because, yes, we had all these different authors of our books, but they just put pen to paper. It is all God's word. It is all breathed by the mouth of God. It is so powerful. It's more powerful than any book that we could read. I've been blessed in so many ways with so many opportunities to spread the gospel in any job. Really, I get to work with our kids 7 days a week. And it's just the greatest thing in the world that I could have ever imagined. So as I wrap up my final thoughts for the evening, I want you to remember that our lives are a story. And our author is writing that story each and every day. The Lord will find a way for each one of us, just as the song says. But we have to allow Him into our lives to guide, guard, and protect us. The question I want to leave with you is, how do you want your story to end? How do you want your story not to end, but to continue? Do you want it to end in heaven with your Heavenly Father? Or do we want it to end in certain ways that we're not supposed to? Obviously, we don't want our story to end that way. We can't allow it to end that way. We have to, every day, stand fast in our faith, stand firm on our faith, and every day look towards the cross of Calvary. Remember that cruel day. Remember the blood that was shed, the body that was broken, all the turmoil that He faced in our lives. We have to remember that each and every day. Will you bow with me as we close in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank You so much for this day and all the many blessings You've given us. Father, thank You for being our Lord and our God. Father, please be with us as we go out into Your word and preach the gospel. That is Your word. That is Your breathed words, the truth. Father, thank You for giving us Your Son and the sacrifice that You allowed Him to offer on our part. Help us to, each and every day, live a life that one day we will hear those words come out of Your mouth, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into Thy kingdom." Forgive us when we fail You, and it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. I appreciate y'all so much for letting me come speak.